That's on me.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Y'all winning, man. Come on, man.
Listen, you know what happens when you get up big. You gotta make a stupid run. It's a 10-point game for no reason.
Sound like LeBron over there crying, man. Come on, man. Y'all winning, man. What's going on, man?
See, that's where you are? Okay.
I'm just giving you a hard time, bro. We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. What's up, Marce?
They're winning.
That's what I said. They're winning, you know? Marce is like, they're winning, you know? He's thinking they're going to make a run.
Y'all know y'all got to give JQ some cheese to go with that wine.
Oh,
whatever.
Man, it's going to be good, man. We are
y'all got to give JQ some cheese to go with that wine.
Oh,
did
my
we give
goodness.
You some on Saturday?
Huh? Oh!
No, I'm talking about you. You whining about a win, man.
No, JQ's talking about the Seahawks and the Cowboys.
I'm talking about LSU and Mississippi State.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's what I'm talking about, too. Yeah.
I ain't whining. That was an ass whoop. Hey, you got to take it like a man sometimes.
Week one out of the race.
Blame it on the COVID.
That officially ended our championship celebration. It's over.
The men of Troy.
Hey, you got to be happy. Mississippi State. They had a heck of a game. Quarterback had a heck of a game. Hey, it is what it is. They got to tip your hat to them.
Yeah, Castell went crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, these boys ain't made a shot in forever.
And Mike Leach and his little one sheet of play calling, about a fourth of a sheet, and he called plays off that little
matter.
Sheet.
It don't matter.
You could still couldn't stop him.
We're dissing on Rob, and you're already throwing us under the bus, Andre. We were dissing on Rob. We were talking about LSU, and you were already throwing Curtis and I under the bus. We were here minding our own business.
I know. That was on me. I thought he was going to talk about shots fired for the Cowboys. I really did think that, so I apologize.
Congratulations to Mississippi State, though. Heck of a game.
I apologize. I didn't know who was coming.
Yeah, Mike Leach couldn't attack 12. And he's no joke. He knows college football.
My bad, Rob.
What?
My bad. I didn't mean to get right to it after the game. My bad. Hey, listen. My Reds blew it for me today, bro. They had 11 hits and then scored no runs against the Braves. I've been getting texts. I had to turn my phone off.
Man, I saw a text, y'all. Like, wonder when are y'all going to score in this game?
We got a lot to talk about, America.
The Reds blew chances in the first and the third inning in that game, man. They had opportunities.
That was
and,
scary.
Yeah,
scary.
They had a lot of opportunities early in that game and didn't take advantage of it.
I told you, JQ, I was scared of that. But I can't talk any junk, Curtis and Gary, because, again, Falcons just find a way to lose magnificently. And, if the game was played in three quarters, we'd be a dynasty, man. That's all I'm going to say, man. So, again, we just find a way to lose. JQ, I didn't like the matchup.
Atlanta seems to be the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team for me.
I told you that.
You don't know what they're going to get out of that team.
I told you.
You just don't know what you're going to get out of that team.
They'll play like world beaters one day, next week like. But, again, we're going to talk about it a little later. Because, again, for my Falcon fans, again, if you want some therapy, give me a heads up. I've been consulting a lot of people. But, again, It's just the only good news about this is that it brings us closer to officially getting rid of Dan Quinn and possibly Thomas Dimitroff, you know, because, again, you talk about, you know, you got a defensive coach, defense is so bad. You talk about having a way to finish, you know, the stink is still on us. We can't finish games. And then the person that picks the personnel is still involved in this too. So it's just a whole lot, man. But, again, I digress. It's been a good day. Your Yankees.
They feel scary offensively,
you know,
the Falcons.
You know, it don't make no sense, though. But it's all good. It's all good. Hey, but let's get this party started here. We got a lot of things to discuss. Rob is sending us pictures of asparagus, man. So, you know, that's what we got to do.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot wait to get this party started, as always, man. For those that want to call into the show, we'll get this party started, too. But JQ, other than today, man, how you feeling, man?
That's still hard to shake, bro. You know, I had it going in the background, and Trevor Bauer was such a dude, and to watch them do that. I've never, honestly, even outside of it being my team, I've never seen a team get 11 hits and not score any runs in a 9-inning game. I've never seen that happen. But, of course, the Cincinnati Reds would be the one to do it. So, it is what it is. It was a decent game pitching-wise, because Max Fried also pitched his butt off today. But, you know, just disappointing because, you know, everybody that I know knows I'm a Reds fan living here in Atlanta. Playing the Braves, when that matchup came out, I was like, oh, God, this is going to be really good or really bad.
No in between.
No in between. So it is what it is. So bad. I was, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I told you I did not like that matchup for the pitching. And, you know, they always say that good hitting always will get negated by good pitching. So that was a scary matchup. You guys were playing hot too, like I said. It's just we just barely like nicked that too. So it's just not good.
I'm good though, bro. I'm good. I'm enjoying this like a game for right now, and you know, nothing else really going on. Work, regular stuff.
Rob, what's up, Rob? Rob is like out of the screen, man. He's just like.
He watching that Yankees game.
I'm over here by the TV, man, watching the Yankees, man. It sucks. Man, we got a 2-run lead, and now Cleveland got 2 runners on base and only 1 out. So.
I told you to watch that Yankees game.
But, you know, speaking of asparagus, yeah, you know, we obviously had some asparagus for dinner. You know, some shrimp and some red potatoes. Yeah. It was on point.
Thank you, Chef Rob.
And Curtis, go Yankees.
Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Go ahead, man.
Well, Curtis came over early. We went out to dinner, had a nice dinner with the family, had a couple of beers, and now we're ready to talk some sports. And you know, we want to talk about. We'll talk about the, you know, the NBA. We'll talk about – we're not going to talk about any of the NFL stuff, though, tonight. We've decided.
Hey, Gary.
None of it?
I was in Cherokee this past week, and I played Sequoia National. Beautiful course. Crazy elevations, though. That was ridiculous. I didn't take any video. I took a couple of pictures I'll send you out, but the elevation differences was like teeing up here, you know, green down here. Insane.
That's how all the courses are out here. There's one course that we have. It's got a signature course called Mountain View. The signature hole is 189-yard par 3 on this course. You got old-growth timber on one side and kind of a creek and a cliff and a bank. And you shoot down, and the hole is 210 feet above where you shoot from.
Wow.
The hole is 210 feet below. I'm sorry. So you're shooting down. So you get somebody like you that's, oh, man, that's 190 yards. I better pull out a big stick. You may pull out like a 5-iron and go 60 yards past that thing.
Oh,
I'll pull out a 9-iron
wow.
and put it on. Yeah, 9-iron from 190. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I caught a 9-iron by 160 the other day, and I was like, I've never done that a day in my life. I said, what is happening out here?
Once in a while, us hacks will do that. Once in a while, us hacks will hit one that is just right. You know, every hole we envision what we want to do, like any sport, right? And once in a while,
mm-hmm.
you have a hole where you actually follow through with everything. It's just not enough holes to make a difference.
Y'all got it. I love it, man. One day we'll go to the do that, do the drive range, go to the golf. Like I said, my baseball swing is still sometimes my nemesis, but I enjoy. I'll have to show you some love too. But good call. Hey guys, man, let's have some fun. Let's go out the numbers really quickly. Those want to call into the show. It's always the same signature every single week. The number to call is the 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter, as the kids say, at the number 12, THMEN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Shout out to my man. Hopefully, Jerome is listening, my coworker in Charlotte, and hopefully he's tuning in, man. If he is, shout out, bro. You got to follow us. Tell us your thoughts, man. Again, we appreciate you, man, for again, he is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, man. Long suffering.
Oh my
so
God.
You know he is riding
Jerome in the
high
house.
Right now, too.
Jerome
so,
in the house.
So, yeah, hopefully, yeah, for real, right? Jerome in the house. So, we got a lot of things to talk about, some predictions. Yeah, gentlemen, let's jump right into this. You know, obviously, big news that we're going to talk about is that the COVID, as they say, it's kind of hit the NFL. A little scary, a little interesting here. The Titans and Steelers have been actually been postponed either until Monday or Tuesday. And I guess I'm going to open it up the floor to you, gentlemen, because I guess the question is, if it does happen to be postponed to a Tuesday, I wonder what that looks like, right? Because, again, we've had Monday Night Football again, Falcons and Packers as a whole other conversation. But now you have an opportunity to actually go on a Tuesday, which I think the NFL may actually go that direction because, you know, why the heck not? Can we get some more viewership on a Tuesday night just to capture that audience too? So I'm going to let you guys start with that. Rob, JQ, West Coast, give us your thoughts on that too, if you will.
Well, I think the NFL's got to be smart with this here. And for both of them, I'm sure both of those teams are scheduled to play the following week. And to have them to play on a Tuesday puts them somewhat of a disadvantage. They have to play on a short week going back into the following the next week. And so I think if you're the NFL here, I don't think you want to play that game at night on a Tuesday. I think you got to make that a daytime game. And just to give those teams an opportunity to regroup and get ready for the next week as well. So I think ideally, I think first and foremost, I think the NFL wants to play that game on Monday. Whether they can pull it off on a Monday, I think that's yet to be determined. It gives them an opportunity to regroup for the following week a little bit faster than a Tuesday would be. And even if it's Tuesday, I don't think you can do it on Tuesday night. You have to give those teams a chance to regroup for the following week. And, you know, typically teams, if they're playing on Sunday, they practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I haven't checked the Titans or the Steelers' schedules for the following week. But if they play a game on Tuesday and they have to return and play back on Sunday, I mean, how do you practice the very next day for your Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, your typical schedule during a practice week? Or do you just take Wednesday off and only practice 2 weeks? Puts them at a little bit of a disadvantage. I think if they can pull it off on Monday, it'll be easier for those two teams to regroup.
Well, I was started with that. I'm really shocked that we made it to week four before this even happened, to be honest, given everything that's happened in the country. I thought this would have happened a lot earlier, maybe like week one or two, to be honest. But that piece you talk about, well, if you play on Sunday and then you play on Thursday, it's almost the same kind of thing if you go Tuesday to Sunday. So I think you will try to have to just kind of just because you're like, well, what do we normally do if we play on a Thursday night game and we play Sunday night, the Sunday before, you know, the 1 or 4 o'clock game. So I think you got the same kind of thing happening there. But I'm with you, Dre. If you're the NFL, you'll say that, but you say it's a blessing in disguise. Now we get Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, skip one day on Wednesday and come back Thursday and then go back to our schedule on Sunday. So I don't think it's as bad. It puts them at a disadvantage because you can't plan for it like you can when you see the season schedule unfold from the get-go. You can kind of put your ducks in a row for that. But I think you have the experience for those teams that have played on Thursday night before after playing a Sunday game at 1 or 4 o'clock to say, okay, when we go that Sunday-Thursday route, we kind of implement the same thing we do for Tuesday-Sunday. So, you know, I think they still have an ability to pull it off. But I'm with Dre. I think they will – I would rather play Monday and Tuesday if I'm the NFL to keep the viewership as opposed to doing two games on Monday and trying to split it. So we'll see.
Double play. Those are definitely good points for the Tuesday night, but I think the thing you got to keep in mind here about the Thursday night game here, typically both teams play on Sunday and then they turn around and play on Thursday. In this case, that wouldn't be the case. So whoever those teams are coming back to play on Sunday, you know, when teams play on Thursday night, they both are playing with the same amount of rest. In this case, that would not be the case if these teams play on Tuesday and then have to turn around and play on Sunday when other teams probably have an additional 2 days rest prior.
Go ahead, Gary.
Rob, are you done?
I'm done.
Must have been that asparagus talking. No, you know what? I want to say this. I want to say that probably Tuesday would be better because I think it's going to give – if you're talking about just viewership and just more exposure to the NFL, I absolutely agree with that. But, you know, this scares me. This scares me because, you know, what's next for the next teams? Or if several teams have cases like this, what is the NFL going to do? You know, they can't do if let's say we have, you know, six teams next week, you know, where players come down with COVID and you've got to test all your players and you've got to quarantine those players or whatever. Is that a week that they're just going to lose? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it could go, from, you know, something that is, you know, we're all keeping our eyes and, you know, and praying that everything's fine and this is going to be it. And I'm hoping this is it. But with the spikes in 27 states with COVID, I'm thinking it's probably not going to be it, that there's going to be more cases. And I hope the NFL's smart with it. I think they may have to go to lots of different Tuesday games. You know, or, you know, we'll see how it goes. Or shorten the season by, you know, a week or something. I don't know. That's you know, something that's out of my wheelhouse. But I'm scared with it, with the spikes that we've had and that sort of thing. So that's what I'm most concerned with, because I love it. You know, as frustrating as it can be for our teams at different points of the season, it's something that we look forward to all year. Football is what Curtis and I look forward to over, you know,
stirs the drink.
All these other sports, over baseball and over basketball. You know, so it's scary for me.
Yeah.
Curtis, what do you got?
Well, I said this on earlier broadcasting. What we're watching in the NFL this year, we're watching a season start. The NFL has started. Everything is fluid in this age of coronavirus. So we're going to navigate, and I think the word is fluid. How is this thing going to finish? And that's what we're watching now. And that's what is the million-dollar question, and that is the question mark. Is the NFL going to be able to finish a season? And that's still up in the air. So we're going to have to see if this happens week by week.
Yeah, I think they will find a way to finish. You know, will a season be possibly extended a little longer? There's that possibility. You know, Hitler said today that it's not a surprise.
Oh, God.
That they had any cases. They expected this throughout the season. And so, I mean, they have contingency plans for this. So this is definitely not a surprise, as he said today. And it wouldn't be a surprise, as Gary said and Curtis said, if we have any more the rest of the season. But I think they, as we've said before, as unfortunate as virus situation is, we have to figure out a way to how do we figure out to adapt with it, and what kind of contingency measures are going to be continue to take in place going forward.
Nice. I'm just going to say this too, gentlemen. Everyone made some good points. The one thing I was going to say too as well, just kind of piggyback on what we talked about, I do think that it's interesting because maybe the NFL will definitely expand those rosters, right? So if they expand those rosters, hopefully this will give an opportunity to have, you know, maybe some players that you may get a chance to see because of it, right? You know, that's some extra excitement too, right? Maybe you get an opportunity to see, like, if you get a big-time quarterback that gets COVID or something crazy like that, you know, again, that's going to definitely adjust or change your season. So, you know, maybe it allows those teams to be a little bit more flexible or adapt, if you will, too. So just a lot of things to think about. You know, no one knows. And like you said, JQ, we're surprised that this didn't happen sooner, right? And it's actually we're a couple weeks in. Now we're like, oh, okay, so again, let's retest those protocols. And, you know, who knows? Because I know the Falcons draft pick, our top draft guy, A.J. Terrell, had COVID protocol, so that affected us as well. But this is going to definitely test the mettle of those coaches, right, to see if you can be a good coach or how you adapt, if you will, right? I'm going to grab Naj real quick as well. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. What's up, Naj?
You know, the interesting thing about this situation with the Tennessee Titans, all nine of these people that tested positive were asymptomatic. And you know, that's the interesting thing about this. It makes you wonder, you know, do we have to check the validity of these tests? For we have nine and all nine to be asymptomatic. I don't know what you all think, but that just seems a little odd for all nine to be asymptomatic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that right. is weird.
We got a lot of things to talk about. So we're going to definitely jump into, and just to let you know, kind of just to talk about next week, Rob, just kind of talk about the Bills are playing the Titans, and, you know, obviously that's going to be an interesting game on Sunday, and then the next game for the Steelers is going to be the Eagles. So the Steelers have an easier road, if you will, possibly than the Titans, but again, they are playing 1 o'clock on Sunday if they do decide to play on that Tuesday like we're talking about too. So, Naj, are you in, bro? Oh, I hope he can grab me if he's jumping in too. All right, gentlemen, we're going to keep this going here. We got a lot of predictions to talk about, gentlemen. Let's talk about right out the gate. We got some interesting predictions. Broncos at the Jets, and I'm surprised that Lou didn't call in because, you know, again, I'm going to take, you know, JQ's words as far as a bum fight, if you will, sometimes, but the Jets, are you already, like, off of the Sam Darnold bandwagon? Because some people are talking about he is not the dude. He had two pick sixes last week. Look at Luke on. He jumped off. So, again, let's call this game. I'm going to start with you, JQ, to kind of get your thoughts on this and what's happening right now. Are the Jets in trouble? Are the Jets trying to reach out and hopefully secretly that they get the number one pick? And Trevor Lawrence, because I've heard a little bit rumblings about that too. I know Luke's popping as well too. We're talking about your Jets and the Broncos. So go ahead with that, JQ.
That one is just so hard because you took the words. You know I was going to say it's a full-blown bum fight. Just two teams, two bad teams playing. But I don't think the Broncos are as bad. I think the Broncos are having issues because of Lott being hurt. So you don't know what you're going to get from that backup quarterback standpoint. And I see the Jets are getting Jamison Crowder back, and they're getting an offensive lineman back in that game. I'm with Rob. I'm going to go with Rob in his you know short week at home. Denver with a backup quarterback, even though I think Denver has better skill position players at home. If you're getting Crowder back, I think this is one of the games you got to look at and say you can win. But when I talk about, I'm sorry, I just lost his name. Jets quarterback. I mean, who does he really have at wide receiver that just makes you – Darnold, sorry, thank you.
You're good. I said they're equally bad.
Who does he – yeah, they're – who does he have at wide receiver that scares you like,
was
oh,
Richie
my God.
Still
you
there?
Got like
– Is Richie still there?
Like, no. Kind of like, you don't know.
Oh, he's with Carolina
getting
now. Good.
Yeah, he's with
Carolina. Oh, that's right.
You got Jamison Crowder, and if you're saying, oh, my God, Jamison Crowder is the best dude on the lineup at your wide receiver for Darnold, then goodness, you failed that dude. I'm just going to tell you, you're not saying, oh, he's got Julio to throw the ball to or Deshaun Hopkins. You know, he doesn't have any of those dudes. So I'm not going to say that he's done or buried him yet. They haven't really given him a cast to work with as far as I'm concerned. But I'm going to take the Jets in a ugly game, and you can convince me the Broncos to win too. But that
game
is going to be
okay.
That game is going to be ugly.
Yeah. I go Jets in this one too. When you look at the Broncos here, they're going with Britt Rypien at the third string quarterback this week on a short week. So the Broncos are starting a third string quarterback, Britt Rypien, on a Thursday night. Now I know my philosophy was wrong last week on Thursday night because Miami went on the road and beat Jacksonville, but I'm going to go to the home team with the Jets in this one. And as JQ said, a real ugly football game. I'm going to go 20-14 Jets winning at home. They find a way to win. I'll tell you, one bright spot for the Jets has been the rookie offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton. He's been really impressive for the Jets. And I know we got a segment for top rookies. He's right up there so far here if we get to that segment. But he's been a really bright spot for the Jets.
Rippin', bro. That's Mark Rippin's nephew.
I know. Yeah. He's third string quarterback.
Nice.
I know y'all don't expect him to win on that game.
No.
Well, you know, I'm gonna pick the Broncos, believe it or not. And I'm looking for Adam Gase to be fired. I'm sorry.
Yes, he will.
The Jets got a lot of problems. They got a lot of problems. And I think there's some players not playing with the Jets because of Adam Gase. I think some players are not even wanting to show up. I think he lost the locker room in at the Jets. And I think
Le'Veon Bell.
And he's not the guy. He's not the guy with the Jets. And I think if he loses this game and the Broncos win before football Sunday, that's gonna be the topic. Adam Gase is out. And the Jets may go a different direction.
Nah, Dan Quinn still got a job. Adam Gase still gonna have a job. They should be fired on the same day.
I agree. Yeah.
Gary?
Well, I think today those are two bad teams. And we, Curtis and I, we got nothing to talk about. You know, we got a bad team right now too. So, but I will take the Jets. I'll take the Jets. They're at home. And that's the only reason. They're at home and they're going against a third string quarterback.
Music to Lou's ears. Lou, what you got, bro?
I thought Lou was a Giants fan.
No.
Was Lou a Giants fan?
No. My brother-in-law is, but not me. So anyway, I really thought that Gase was going to get fired after last week's debacle. But I guess I'll just stick with the 0-4 because I really don't see how Gase is going to keep his job if they lose or tie tomorrow because these teams are both so bad. I don't know if they're even going to get a win, to be honest with you. They're just that bad.
I know that feeling.
Wow. Yeah.
You know,
hey,
if they're that bad, I think they're probably making a win.
We were just talking about if the Jets are in the sweet stakes for Trevor Lawrence, man. So are they ready to give up on Darnold, man? That's the question, too. So I don't know.
They're giving up on Darnold. Darnold's been a bust.
I don't think so.
No.
He's only been in the league 3 years, right? Besides he's seeing
ghosts. Yeah, what's he done? Nothing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Who's he had? Who's he had? Nobody. I mean, you gotta give the guy some talent around him. If you give him nothing,
what have you done for me lately?
Hey. Ooh, yeah, come on, man.
Naj is on the scene. We got Naj. Bring it, Naj. What you got, bro?
This is why Adam Gase is so terrible at his job. Like, think about it.
Yes.
This is the full Adam Gase. Not only do you have questions about whether Sam Darnold could have been good or is he as terrible as we've seen, you don't know the answer to that, and therefore you're going to have to draft somebody just because you can't take the chance. This is what happened in Miami. He ruined Ryan Tannehill's career in Miami. Ryan Tannehill goes amongst competent coaching, and now Ryan Tannehill is a solid NFL player. So that's what you have with the Jets. As far as this game, I don't care who wins. we should not watch this game. We should not be subjected to things like this. Like, this is terrible.
I'll be watching the baseball playoffs over that.
Yeah, the UK has something that we don't have, and that's relegation. If a team puts a product on the field like this, they should be pushed down to a lower level and not compete against the rest of the majors. And I'm talking about a lot of teams besides the Jets when I say this. But that's something we need to explore in America, man.
We
shouldn't be taking people's money, putting that product out there, bro. Like, this is terrible.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. No, that's good stuff, too, Naj. I mean, we talk about bone fight. I agree. Competent coaching is definitely overrated, man. And you nailed it on the head. Tannehill, that dude was a bust. And you go to the Titans, he's actually pretty good. You know, and like you said, we've all talked about the Jets. You know, maybe it's too soon. Gase is just, again, just moseying his way out. There's a list that came out of the top coaches that will be fired, if you will. It's funny to see, like, Dan Quinn, Gase. I gotta pull it up. I literally was looking at it before I jumped on the call too.
Brain.
So, it's like Mike Zimmer.
Bill O'Brien
on there too, but that's a whole other. It's Bill O'Brien. Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking at. I was like, wow. So again, I was just looking at
Bill O'Brien,
like, kind of like tunnel vision.
Zach Taylor,
yeah,
both
so
jobs.
He's got pictures. Zach Taylor ain't going nowhere. Let that go, JC. All right, let's keep this going. Colts at my freaking Bears. Again, what say you about this game, if you will? Nick Foles officially gets the start. To my chagrin, if Mitchell Trubisky would have stayed as the quarterback, it would have been a different conversation. But, again, we're going to let that go. I'm pretty much going all in. I hate the Bears right about now. We're going to kind of reverse the field here. We're going to start with Naj and kind of go back around Naj, Lou, and then kind of get back around too. So turn us off, Naj, about this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a smash-mouth game. Like, Indianapolis is really physical on both sides, and they play kind of smash-mouth football. They want Rivers to be a game manager, but you can't trust Phillip Rivers to be a game manager. Man, he's going to give up a pick six, and the Bears are going to kind of get a shot in the arm from the idea. Like, you get a second life when you inject the backup quarterback in and you start, you know, believing in things. So I could see the Bears going on a mini run, even though I don't think they're that good. I think they do win this game. So I'll go Chicago with this one, with the injection of Nick Foles as the starter, kind of give him a little, you know, a little Adderall.
Tariq Cohen is out, though, by the way, for the year. He had a torn ACL. So something to think about from that, too. So just a little FYI about that, quick note.
Well,
Dave Montgomery's good enough.
Yeah, they just gave him a contract.
I know. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. Man, go ahead, though. Yeah. Lou, what you got, man?
All right. Repeat the question.
No, just figure out who's going to win between the Colts and the Bears.
Oh, that's an easy one, the Bears.
Okay.
It's a good thing to be.
All right.
If you would have had Trubisky, you know, you wouldn't have won last week's game. I mean, they had to take him out. You're not going to game over with him.
Fair enough. Good call. Curtis Garrett, what you got? So bad.
Curtis, what do you got?
Well, just like Nas said, I don't trust Phillip Rivers. Rivers is going to get in that tight spot. He's going to try to win the day, and it's going back. A pick six on Rivers when he's trying to save the day in the last minutes of that game. He's going to blow it. And Nick Foles is one of those guys. And it might be because he beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And he's one of those guys that when other team guys are with him, he's one of those guys that kind of pump you up and think you can do the same thing he did when he was a Super Bowl winner. Why not? You're looking at him. He's a Super Bowl winner. What's wrong with me? I can be a Super Bowl winner too. If he can be. And I think he does that to a team. I think he's one of those guys that makes you believe that we're a team because we got Nick Foles. We can win anything. So I'm picking the Bears.
I'm picking the Bears as well. And I'm picking them for the same reason is
Phillip Rivers is always that guy that's going to let you down. And now, older, slower, can't throw as far, but he still thinks he can't. That's where that pick six comes in.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I like the Bears in this one, too, but I think it's going to be really, really close, and I think it's going to be a real competitive game. I think the coach, the key to their success is going to be Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor. And some more Jonathan Taylor with behind that big offensive line and controlling that clock. And that's what's going to be the key to their success. The coach's defense is pretty good. So I think this is going to be a real competitive football game. But I think the Bears in the end is going to pull out a close one. I'm going to go 24-21 field goal win by the Bears.
Well, I mean, I know the Bears have gotten lucky, you know, DeAndre Swift dropping that pass. But you're talking about a team that was 2-0 and 2-0 in spite of Mitchell Trubisky. And now you get them somebody in Nick Foles who you can see that offense just breathe a sigh of relief when he's in there like, yes. I think I'm going with the Bears as well. I think they win by 10. I think that Bears defense is better than you think it is. They've just been having to do a lot more because Mitchell Trubisky has been doing a whole lot of foolishness and they've had to do more. I think if you get Nick Foles in there with, I mean, Dave, you talked about Tariq Cohen, but David Montgomery is a very good three down back that he can also catch the ball out the backfield. And they also have Allen Robinson. You give that team the confidence that the quarterback is not going to take you out of the game. I think they rally around that. I think the Bears win by 10.
You look at Allen Robinson's numbers this past week with Nick Foles. I mean, they were incredible. I mean, Allen Robinson has got to be a happy camper. There were rumors about him being requesting a trade. But you look, his numbers practically doubled this past Sunday with Nick Foles at the helm. So he's got to be a happy camper now.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gentlemen, let's talk about Curtis's favorite team. Curtis and Gary's favorite team. We have the Patriots at the Chiefs, and you talk about a very interesting game because we're going to definitely recap this as well because, you know, obviously just the phenomenal play of Patrick Mahomes. And if you look at, we're going to talk about, you know, that, you know, the Ravens, if you will, because I thought the Ravens were the perfect team to kind of like at least slow them down because just run the ball, keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. The Chargers gave the Chiefs a good game. And now you run into a Patriots team that, again, have, I know you guys don't like this, Curtis and Gary, I'm looking at you two, but have a genius and a coach in Belichick to try to like at least confuse Mahomes. So this is going to be a very interesting game with a chess match. So, it is
his genius is in Tampa now.
And I know JQ is shaking his head. I'm just saying he's going to try to slow him down a little bit. But there's going to be some interesting things because, again, I'm not going to say he's going to shut down the Chiefs totally, but I'm saying he's going to probably do some things that may at least confuse the Chiefs because the Chiefs are like they're a complete team right now. So, again, let's go back around. Let's think about this game. It is at Arrowhead. You have a renewed Cam Newton right now. What say you? Is there going to be some surprises? JQ, Rob, Curtis, Gary, Lou, Naj, that's where we're going.
I don't think so because I think what you look at is that the Chiefs could damn near take the same game plan they did this past week against the Ravens and do it against the Patriots. You got a team that's going to want to come in there and run with Burkhead and Sony Michel and do some Cam Newton kind of runs and try to keep Mahomes off the field. And that Chiefs defense, you know, I know Jones may not play, so it may be in terms of rushing the quarterback, but Cam Newton's not a traditional drop back and throw the ball kind of quarterback anyway. He wants to scramble a little bit. He wants to run and pick up first downs. They saw that this past week on Lamar Jackson. So they don't have to delve too far away from the game plan they just went against with Baltimore to do it against New England. And on the flip side, it talks about Bill Belichick and that defense. It's great when you play a team where you're like, okay, they've got this one guy right here, like Waller. You know, they were like, okay, if we take Waller away, we can beat that team. And they did that. You can't take away Travis Kelce and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a plethora of wide receivers on the outside. And then they got that little dude from LSU. They can just hit out the backfield as well. You can't game plan against one dude to slow him down. He might try to come up with some crazy amoeba defense. But Andy Reid and Andy Reid's play calling has been so fantastic these past couple of years with Patrick Mahomes and what they can do. With the multiple schemes because they have so many weapons. Like, if you want to do this to that guy, I'm going to go to this guy. I have no problem. They don't seem to have any egos. They just want to win. So when you have that kind of that many weapons, you're basically saying Patrick Mahomes, we're banking on you to have an off day, to make mistakes, and he just doesn't seem like it. That dude was living his best life. He got the biggest contract ever. He didn't got engaged. She's having a baby. That dude is on cloud nine right now. So I don't know if any of that is going to mess with him.
Kansas City Royals. Yeah, that dude is like, that's
yeah,
dude,
I mean, I just don't see that happen right now. And if it happens, I will say that I was wrong next week. But that Kansas City offense is so multiple. Good luck.
Okay, Rob?
Hey, I don't know what else I can say after that. I think JQ has said it all. I totally agree with pretty much everything you said right there. Kansas City just got too many weapons on offense. You know, you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you got Tariq Hill, you got Travis Kelce, you got Hartman, you got Sammy Watkins, and then, of course, I didn't even say Patrick Mahomes' name yet. I mean, so, I mean, they're just loaded. I mean, Russell Wilson is the leading candidate for MVP thus far, and rightfully so. He should be the leading candidate, but Patrick Mahomes is still the best player in the game right now. He's the guy you want. He's the guy you want to build your franchise with. And their defense is so much better right now. And, I look at for another 2-touchdown, 17-point victory here. I'm going to go Chiefs 40, Patriots 21 here in this victory here. I just can't see anybody slowing this team down. They just have so many weapons. And the only thing that's been able to stop the Chiefs over the last couple of years is when Patrick Mahomes got hurt last year for three games. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I think what you see with, with Kansas City is, let's say that Belichick runs this, that he wants to, bring this defense in and put all these guys in the box and, and rush the passer and do whatever he thinks he can do. This guy, Mahomes, he's like a video game. He never gets rattled.
Yeah.
He's going to get out of the pocket somehow, some way, just like Wilson does. And he's going to just make them look like fools. What that's going to do, that's going to expose for the rest of the year how to beat New England. It's going to say, get ahead of these guys any way you can. Make Cam Newton a thrower. Take away that run thing like they're doing and beat them that way. I can't wait for this game because the Patriots are going to get outperformed on offense, defense, and coaching.
Yeah. Wow.
You guys say Belichick's a genius, and I think that defense has got to be better than what Seattle's defense was. Keep Mahomes off the field. I know Belichick knows that. Limit his opportunities to get you. Cam, offense, 10-minute drives every quarter. And if we can get a 4-man rush – and drop 7, and we're going to take away somebody. We are New England. Belichick is going to take away somebody. If it's Kelce, he's going to take away somebody. He's going to limit. That's what they're going to do. They're going to limit Patrick Mahomes' chances to beat him. That's what they're going to do.
So what are you predicting then?
I think Patrick Mahomes is still going to beat him. But it's going to be like that Seattle game. This game is going to be just like that Seattle game. Who's the last person to have the football with 2 minutes on that clock is going to win that football game?
Put it in Cam's hands. Let him lose it.
Yeah, I think Pat is still picking Pat to beat him. But I'm picking Pat to beat him. It might be 31-28. He's going to – if he has the ball last, you don't have a chance.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
I think it's going to be real close. I think it's going to be real close. And I got to say, they're on a high from nobody saw what they did to Baltimore. I thought Baltimore had the best defense in the AFC. And so
I thought it was really a much better game.
I know Belichick saw that too.
Lamar Jackson didn't even throw for 100 yards last night. Oh, Monday night, I'm sorry.
And that's my point exactly, Curtis. So what you're making my point for me, and I'd like to thank you for that personally. Yeah. Well, Belichick ain't going to play well. Belichick's going to put some defense out. And he's going to hold that ball.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, I know JQ and Curtis are secret Patriots fans. I got to watch.
No. I can't. Well,
their death factor.
Huh?
Their death factor, they may cheat. Yeah.
they may cheat
and make us all stand there with our mouths open. Yeah,
don't put
that past Patriots.
JQ was lusting after that Patriots jersey that first week of the season.
Why you sitting there wearing that Spurs jersey? See, you in here talking that stuff. Eating, running, and talking shit. Your three main hobbies. I'm going to come back to it every week.
Hey, it's a legend, man. It's Tim Duncan jersey.
I pick Kansas City, and you still talking trash. Go ahead, Lord Nas. Don't listen to Rob.
So, not so fast, my friend. We're going to go Corso here. Now look.
Okay, Corso.
Gary brought up a very important thing. I don't know if people saw this, but this is the most important thing we saw last week. They didn't stop Baltimore because they had a scheme that figured out some more offense. They stopped Baltimore because Lamar Jackson probably had his worst game as a pro. He was really bad. Yeah. He missed a lot of open reads, missed a lot of passes high. Like, Lamar was just really bad that night. But the real big issue, and Gary touched on this for a second, what did NFL teams learn on that night? They learned that if you're going to pressure Pat Mahomes, it has to be your front four. You cannot send extra pressure and leave one-on-one matchups or a hot read that's open down the field and deal with Pat Mahomes, period. You will not see teams line up with exotic blitzes going after Mahomes anymore. That's what they want you to do. You're going to see teams say, okay, front four, you have to get there. Bill is going to design something where the front four is going to rotate those defensive linemen in and out, and they're going to come after them. And, yes, they are going to decide whether they take away Hill deep or Kelsey on the boundary, and they're going to cause problems. Now, New England, offensively, they're going to have to keep this low scoring. They're going to have to get Edelman down the field. I don't know if Edelman at this age can still get past these guys deep. But I think they are going to put up enough points, and I think Belichick, in a shocker, New England pulls off the upset. Close one. Give me.
I like it, 27-24,
New England.
I like it.
Surprise.
Nas, I've got to say one thing to you. I wanted you to make sure, without a doubt, that you're on the show next week. I don't want this, guys, I couldn't get there. I want you to be. I want you to be on the show next week. Okay.
I overslept in it.
Yeah, but just remember this: whenever I give y'all an upset pick, that means I bet on it. So I'd be more mad about losing money than I am about whatever bars y'all gonna give me that night. So yeah, upset. Okay. I'm betting that, brother.
Upset shocker. Man, keep this show.
But the thing about you,
whoa.
The thing about that is that you've seen Cam Newton throwing the ball have days just like Lamar Jackson just had. Cam can get in wild on you running the ball, but if you can contain him, you have seen Cam is not a high percentage thrower as a quarterback. And I love Cam, but he has days just like Lamar Jackson had. Maybe not 97 yards bad, but like 125 yards bad. We've seen it happen. We're like, damn, Cam, what happened today? I'm just saying, that's still a possibility.
But it's
for
the
him
defense.
To have the same exact day.
It's the defense and coaching that he's probably talking about too that kind of gives a different kind of like wrinkle on this, because I can see that, because you have a coach that's like, yo, this is how we're going to scheme this, you know. And like you said, you know, you're going to have just enough to say, we're not going to blitz you. We're going to make you beat. But there's some things that we're going to have to figure out, too. So I know you're dancing in the background, JQ, but I'm just keeping it real. You're happy because the Lakers won, but it's all good.
I'm just saying that's all well and good.
I'm with you.
But Cam still has to perform.
I'm with you.
And I like Cam.
I'm with you.
But I've seen Cam have those kind of days throwing the ball, and you're like, damn, Cam, you can't have those kind of days throwing from the pocket. and he's had those days as Lamar's had, so it's, that's still a real possibility.
Yes.
He's had more
early in the year.
I could go around the country and choke the hell out of every football reporter who has made these pocket narratives, who can and who can't throw, because these narratives are so believed and they're nothing close to true. Look at who Cam Newton has thrown to during his career. Look at Lamar Jackson has thrown to during his career. These guys are good throwers, man. It's not that they can't pass.
I'm not following you on that one because for like 2 years. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go ahead, Gary. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it doesn't matter who you're throwing to. If you're throwing and you're 5 feet over their head or throwing it into the dirt, it's still an incompletion. That's what you're seeing from these two quarterbacks. He had an MVP season. He was, you know, the guy. He's not that guy anymore. Never going to be it again.
What I mean, this is
that's
what
why
Nagy,
New England was the only team.
That the tape don't tell you. This is what narrative
well,
is. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
come on,
this,
man.
When, you know, there's lots of measurables with the quarterback. More than any other position, there are lots of measurables that you can compare. That's why New England was the only team that wanted it, and that's because they were desperate enough to get him, to take a chance on it. So far, so good. I can't wait. I can't wait for next Wednesday.
No, I'm just saying, when he threw for 400 yards against Seattle 2 weeks ago, he couldn't throw. With Julian Edelman as the number one option, he couldn't throw. You see what I'm saying?
These narratives exist
within the NFL, and we believe them, and before you know it, it's set in stone. Like, it's the same thing as Josh Allen's going through right now. People are talking about Josh Allen's accuracy. Guess what? Josh Allen is a big play quarterback. Yes, he's going to miss some throws, but guess what? The chunk yardage that he hits you with other times make up for it and also make him more dangerous. Same thing when you're dealing with Cam and Lamar Jackson. It's the chunk plays. So you can get a guy, and Brandon Weeden actually set the NFL record for completion percentage in Dallas a couple years ago. You know how far down the field he was going? 6 yards down the field. So high percentage that's actually
ripping
the defense or pushing the ball down the field. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
All of those things have to be measured together. But I'll leave it alone. This is one of my soapbox issues, so let me shut up.
I like it. Woo! All right.
Love you, man.
We got like 3 minutes, and I'm trying. Please, if we can be as succinct as possible. Don't know if we may have to spill this into the OT. Rob, I guess you want to do the fantasy shout-outs before we go into this, because I definitely want to talk about the Browns at the Cowboys, because we haven't had a chance to really talk, you know, Bills and Raiders the next one, but we haven't had a chance to really, like, dive deep into the coach on the hot seat, the top five rookies and little things like that, too, because we might not get a chance to talk about that. And then, obviously, we got, you know, Doc Rivers and the Sixers, and we got, like, you know, obviously our Reds and whatever, Reds and Braves recap. So we got a lot of things to talk about, but you
we talked about that already.
Shout-outs in the... I know we did. It's just, yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, fantasy shout out to the week, and our league number one, my team, Death Valley, had the biggest win of the week over Mickey's Ballers, 178.80 to 89.26. Eagles Chick for Life, she's in first place as Christelle from Albuquerque with a 3-0 record. League number two, Andre's team, playoffs had the biggest win of the week. 178.20 to Honk Smash 90.20. And EP Diablos in first place at 3-0. That's Willie from El Paso in first place. In league number three, Chester from New Orleans had the biggest win of the week. His team Kraken, 136.30 to Mark Robinson's team, 60.12. Pelican Fly in first place, 3-0. That's Rick from Austin. All right, league number four, biggest win of the week. Andre's wife, Marcy, baby got backfield, 163.08, beat Andre's team, 139.78 for the biggest win of the week. and my
goodness. Yeah. Woo. Big win there. Huge win.
I got to sleep with her, guys. You know, I figured, you know, yo, I don't want any decisions.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. She just whipped your ass.
I'm afraid of that.
Shut the hell up.
I had to drive and hear that ish all damn day.
All right. My team, Flash Ford, is in first place with a 3-0 record in league number 4. Hey, those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week. Congratulations to our biggest winners and our teams in the first place. A lot of football to be played still.
There was a show called The League. I don't know if you guys remember that show. You ever watched that show? It was back in the day. It was like a fantasy football show. Oh, yeah. Man. And the wife and the husband, they kept going back and forth. And that's what it feels like sometimes. He's like, you're going to trade me what? What? And it was just like the whole, like, the trade they were trying to consummate was, he's like, I'm sick of you for this. And that's kind of how it feels. Like, hey, man, I'll trade you the quarterback. What? So, I helped her too much. And I'm like, what, wait a minute, you know. So then
outside the forehead.
I'm like, this is not a good idea. Because she definitely came back and got me. I didn't see that coming at all, man. But it's all good. I give her props, you know. But
better.
All good, if you will.
You better.
You know, I'm just saying. You know, I don't talk shit, or vice versa too. Hey, Lou, did you have anything I wanted to do? Did you get your last thoughts about the Patriots, and if you will, too? Do you want to talk about that before we get ready to wrap this up?
Well, I'll say it's going to be a very competitive game. I don't see this, you know, one dominating the other. I mean, you got two great quarterbacks there, but I think it's going to be, you know, Mahomes. I mean, he is on fire this year. I think it's going to be a three point victory for the Chiefs. I'll say 34-31. And don't be surprised if this game goes to overtime.
Hmm. Yeah. Pulled out in overtime, huh? Okay, all right.
Wow.
Like I said,
Indians have tied the Yankees up for all y'all Yankee fans. Take that.
It ain't.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, man.
By the way, they got real quiet. They got real quiet. The Yankees fans got real quiet here. Oh, man.
If you're free Saturday night between 5 and 7 East Coast time, feel free to call into the Enhanced Sports Show. The number is 512-543-4662.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We had a lot of fun. We still got more to talk about, so we're going to go right into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. So click on the same link to get the rest of the show. We got more football. We got NBA. We got Major League Baseball. So we got more to talk about. Catch it on the OT portion. Hey, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you on Twitter. We want to hear from you on Facebook. Let us know your thoughts on the show. Let us know what you agree with, and let us know what you disagree with. We'd love to hear from you. Next week, we're going to be back on Wednesday night live. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Good night, people.
Damn, Cincinnati Reds. I got to give Drake credit. His team beat my team. I've never seen a team freaking get 11 hits and not score a run, leave 13 men on base in 13 innings. That is just some of the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. It's hard to be a Cincinnati fan playing Atlanta, living in Atlanta. We appreciate everybody for tuning into the show. Y'all pray for me tomorrow, because if we lose tomorrow, I'm just going to turn my phone completely off. Don't call me. Don't take me. I don't know nobody tomorrow.
How are we gonna get in touch with you, bro?
That is the point. You are not going to get in touch with me.
Man, what time is it?
Give me an update, Rob. Where are we at? What are we doing?
Oh man. Oh, I love
so
it.
So bad.
I love it. Nah, you hear this? Bro, that was scary. I told you that was scary. And every time that the game was like bases loaded, I'm like, oh, shit, we about to give this up, man. And I was like, how are we going to score? And then they just kept, like, we kept pitching out of jams. Will Smith, I'm like, I'm not a fan of Shane Green. I'm like, ish. You know, and I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And they just somehow pull that shit out, man.
Well,
I
they intentionally want my man to load him up for Suarez. I said, what the hell is going on? Are they throwing the game?
Exactly.
Dude.
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it. But,
11 hits and no runs. What's all type of kids? 11 hits and ain't scored no runs in 13 freaking innings. I looked at that at the end and said, wow. I wish I was some shit I could bet on. I would have bet on it because that is outlandish. I've never seen that happen in all my 43 years on this earth. Ever.
Wow. I wish we could hear what Trevor Bauer says without the media right now about his team. Because Trevor Bauer, I want to hear what
you
he
heard
really
him say. He said, no, Trevor Bauer said it in the postgame. He said, well, the pitcher wasn't the problem. I said, damn, Trevor. Well, I mean, you ain't lying, but you just can't say that at the postgame press conference, though, bro. God damn.
Yeah.
He was hot.
He was mad. All right, we got it. We got the OC portion here. We are an official OC. And I'm looking at Curtis and Gary. And right now, I want to talk to you guys as Cowboys fans, right? What? No. I'm not talking ish. I was talking, I've already done that earlier. We're moving on. What do you think is going to happen with, you have a prime opportunity to basically put the nail in the coffin for the career of Baker Mayfield. So Browns at the Cowboys, here is your opportunity. What say you in this game?
Well, first of all, you have to have a secondary to do that.
Mm.
And it was proven, you know, in several big plays, we just didn't have anybody back there. Can Baker Mayfield throw against that secondary?
No.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, but don't worry. Baker ain't going to throw it but 15 times. They make him hand off.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
the Browns are becoming a dominant running team with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
And that's scary, too. That's less time. You know, the Cowboys offensively have a good team. You know, they have enough weapons offensively. With the exception right now, they've got a horribly depleted offensive line that affected this game this last Sunday. I think the Cowboys are going to win. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk at all. I think it's going to be a tough game, and I think they're going to be in first place of the NFC East after this next weekend.
NFC East.
I think what I'm saying, the Cowboys are going to be shown by the Cleveland Browns what they should have been doing all along. Controlling clock, running the ball up and down the field with Zeke.
You can't win on that offensive line.
No. Zeke should be the best runner in the NFL, bar none. Yeah. And they should have went in the season with that idea. Feed me. That boy should be the best running back in the NFL, bar none. And if I was coaching the Cowboys, that would be number one priority. Because everything else, ball control, don't let our defense let us down.
They're going to.
Take 10 minutes off of every quarter.
You're not going to do it with that offensive line, and you're not going to do it right now with Zeke. He couldn't even get out of the damn end zone with 1 yard.
Well, if you're telling me that they're not going to be able to do that, then Cleveland is going to hand it to the Cowboys. They're going to have to do – they're not going to get in a shootout, and Baker Mayfield is not going to beat them in the shootout. Baker Mayfield, they're going to run that ball down that defensive throat. And the best thing that the Cowboys can do is make sure that that offense doesn't get a chance to run the ball right down that defensive throat. And they're going to have to run clock. I'm picking the Cowboys because I'm a homer, and I believe in the Cowboys, and it's down him, down. But
I tell you what,
this is going to be a really good football game, and I'm hoping the Cowboys learn something. And it's going to be hard to face it's going to be hard to face you guys next week if I got to say, how did the Cowboys lose this game to the Cleveland Browns? That's not going to be an easy thing to do. That's not going to be an easy thing to talk about. No, just like last year, how did the Cowboys lose to the New York Jets? They did it, and that was hard to explain.
I think this Browns team is better than the Jets team from last year.
You got to let it go.
Yep.
Go, I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, when you look at this Cleveland, I saw the Cleveland Browns against that football team this past weekend, and they were running the football a lot with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and they got a solid 1-2 punch. The offensive line is much improved. Baker Mayfield is almost becoming a game manager, just similar to what Nod says. They don't have to throw the ball like 16 times or so now. They are running that rock with that 1-2 punch of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And when they do have to throw the football, they're using a play-action game, you know, very well. They're trying to keep Baker Mayfield to make very few mistakes, and they're protecting them. And I think it's going to be a real competitive football game. I do still like Dallas. Dak Prescott has been incredible so far this year. Other than that Atlanta game where early in the game when he has to turn on. Yes, but Dak has been incredible. And even in the loss to Seattle, really good game. I think he'll be able to overcome some of the offensive line deficiency and some of their defensive deficiencies right now. I think this is going to be a really good football game, really competitive game. I'm going to say Dallas finds a way to win by 1 point,
28-27. Listen, Naj, and I know with your gamble and stuff, you're going to be with me. If you get Seattle or Dallas in any pick 'em, take the over, because you just talked about it. Dallas secondary is terrible. It's going to be hard to run Zeke like that when you get the ball back to the other team and they have the ability just to go over the top and hit you in the head, and you look up and you're down 10, 14 points. You're like, what the hell? And that's why Dak is having to throw for 400 yards every week. They are going to be in a shootout every single week. That is where they are right now. And I'm not saying Earl Thomas is the answer, because clearly when the Houston Texans are 0-3 and they don't want to sign Earl Thomas, red flag number 1, 2, and 3. That dude has all kinds of ridiculous. He's clearly got some problems. An 0-3 team brought him in and said, you know what, we good. That means that you have a problem in your character. I mean, come on. When Bill O'Brien won't sign you, issues. But I think that, you know, I think it comes down to the last team with the ball. And I think Dak and them get the last – it's going to be the last ones with the ball, and he finds a way to go get it. But that game, that being able just to run Ezekiel and keep the other team on the other side, you talk about the offensive line. But when they're on defense, they can't stop a team from going over the top on them at all. So you can't say I'm going to come back and keep running this ball when you keep getting into these games where you're down consistently 7 to 10 to 14 points because your secondary is getting torched. They're going to be in a shootout every week. It's going to come down to whether they can make a play at the end with the ball last. I think it gets Cleveland because I'm never going to pick Cleveland because fuck Cleveland. So I'm picking Dallas.
Wow.
Oh, man. Tell
wow.
Yo, JQ.
I'm about to get after midnight.
Right.
Yeah, for real, it is.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas. The coaching staff doesn't trust Baker Mayfield. They got the reins on him. And I just don't think they'll open it up to the point to where they can score with the Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb is as good as advertised. They got a great find in that tight end. What's his name? Schultz. I don't know where the hell they got him.
Yep.
But that kid looks pretty nice. And you get a pass rusher who's leading the league in sacks from off the street. So, you know, Dallas is not, you know, deficient.
They're not
talent.
That bad.
They just got to get their scheme together defensively. They just got to get, you know, on the same page as far as communication defensively, and they'll improve. But offensively, I mean, dude, they're a problem. Like, Dak, with that 3 wide receiver set, like, it's dangerous, man. So, yeah, give me Dallas, man.
The triplets, the quadruplets are back with Elliott.
Kid is good.
There you go. There you go. Look at Gary. Come on, man. We should have put him on, man.
And you get Cedric Wilson. I was like, who the hell is Cedric Wilson? How does he have two touchdowns?
Who the
like,
hell,
what the hell is
that?
Happening? I was looking like, man, Mo Foles is pissed off. Cedric Wilson is at the bottom of the barrel of the wide receiver bargain bin on the fantasy football waiver wire. And he didn't call two touchdown passes.
that's true. Right. That's true. All right, before I know Gary has like walked away. Hey, but so Rob, I guess you know, congratulations, number one, JQ, to your Lakers pulling it off, man. You know, we obviously saw good your dancing and like that. Rob, a couple things we'll talk about. It's tough because I know we spent a lot of time talking about these predictions here. Steelers at Titans is the last one. I know we're kind of talking about COVID, and they're both 3-0. We can talk about that. I know we're kind of up against it here, you know, for our East Coasters here. Couple topics. I know that I want to kind of get your take on, you know, I like to kind of throw you guys, you know, pick up topic here. The recapping the 8 playoff games in one day in the Major League Baseball, that's a good thing to talk about. But then I also, you know, wanted to see there's some rumors about Doc Rivers and the Sixers, Doc Rivers and the Rockets. And then there's some, you know, the coaches that are on the hot seat. I'm kind of curious about that and the top five rookies. But I definitely want to table the prospects, if you will, for the 2021 for next time, too, if you don't mind. But, again, I'm kind of like letting you guys kind of pick and choose where you want to go. But those are the things I liked. I do think it is topical to talk about Lamar Jackson if they ever be as good as Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to say no right now just because Patrick Mahomes is already there. But that's just a whole other topic altogether. So I guess I'm kind of leaving it open to kind of like you guys can kind of go if you want to. So we got about, you know, 20 something minutes here before we totally hit 12:30. But again, I'll let you kind of go with that, Rob. And then, you know, we'll go to JQ, Curtis, and leave it to Naj. We'll kind of wrap it up too. So you have some options as far as that because we have a lot of time and a lot more topics to kind of dive into, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch right on that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes piece of, you know, for my segment. And I totally agree with you, Andre. I'm going to say no as well. And the difference is Patrick Mahomes, the way he's deciphering defenses, all the reads that he's making, as well as his arm talent, as well as his athletic ability. And then when you look at what's surrounding him, too, and the coaching staff that's around him, he's just going to be better set up for long-term success. Is Lamar Jackson going to beat him a time or two here and there in their careers? Absolutely. I mean, they'll find some times, they'll find some opportunities to win here and there. But I think overall, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the better pro prospect and is going to have the better career than Lamar Jackson. And I think the one thing you got to be worried about Lamar Jackson too, when you look at the amount of times he's running in the football game too. How much of a wear and tear that's going to eventually take on him, similar to what we saw in Cam Newton, you know, having to be hurt for the last 2 years practically. So overall, Patrick Mahomes would definitely have the better career than Lamar Jackson. But Lamar will win a game or two against him, but overall, Patrick Mahomes will definitely have the better career.
All right, I got two, just real quick. I don't think Doc Rivers is that dude. I think Doc Rivers got himself a championship because he had a dog in Kevin Garnett, a dude who thought he was a dog, but I don't think he really is, and Paul Pierce, but he's good enough to overcome that, and Rajon Rondo and Ray Allen. I'm just looking at Doc Rivers going to other places, and it's like he just is setting some of his ways. I just don't know. I think, can he be better than Brett Brown? Yes, but does he take the Sixers to the promised land? I say no. I think that marriage fails after 3 years if it happens. But here, living in Atlanta, the last piece, Auburn at Georgia. Listen, I am so rooting for Auburn to beat Georgia. I can't even tell you. I hate the Bulldogs. I do. And I didn't really hate them until I moved here. Because, listen, when I moved here as an Ohio State fan, I was chilling. Go out to the sports bars, hang out, have some beers, watch the games. People find out I'm from Ohio and I'm a Ohio State fan. The Bulldog fans were the worst out of all of them. All y'all ain't shit. We're going to win the national championship this year. If y'all came back here, we whoop y'all ass. I mean, just talking ridiculous, out of control, over the top. And guess what? They go 9-3. And they say the same thing next year. They go 9-3. Say the same next year. They go 8-4. Next year, they go maybe go 10-2. It was like, if y'all don't get out of here with that foolishness, why are y'all talking to me? I mean, if you don't worry about Florida and Alabama and LSU, go talk to them. You leave me alone. So they ruined
me
forever being partial to them.
Were you talking
I was
shit
not.
At them, though?
I wasn't. No,
okay.
I think,
no, but that's
I
how Georgia Bulldog fans are. Y'all forgot I lived in Atlanta
they are.
16
I'm
years,
just,
too. Georgia has the most obnoxious fans I've ever seen.
They are very obnoxious. They are pretty obnoxious.
They're out of control.
I was just giving Dick
I had to start talking shit back because they were coming at me.
But I was sitting there with my, you know, with my Heineken, like, dude, I'm not even talking to you. Down. Like, what is your problem? I'm not here just watching the games as an innocent bystander. And because I'm not rooting your team and I'm just an innocent bystander, you're gonna come crazy at me.
They totally ruined me on Georgia football.
UGA fans talk like they got Alabama's trophy case. Like,
yeah,
that's just what they do.
They do.
That's true.
They ain't won a national championship since, 1982, if I'm not mistaken?
1980. 40 years. 1980.
Hershey Walker and Buck Ballou is not walking through that door.
Don't ever ask them that question. Yeah, don't ever ask them that question because they're going to tell you the whole Herschel story. And you don't want to hear
right.
all of that. So don't ever
I've heard it.
Hey. Now, but they better watch Florida in the SEC East because Kyle Trask is the best quarterback in that division.
Why a Heineken?
Because back in the day, that was my beer choice in this back in the day. The Heineken got too heavy for me, made me a little too fat, so I switched to the Stella because it was a little lighter. But I'm just giving you some context for the time frame I was in when they were kicking with that nonsense. So that's why I was like, you know what? Whoever y'all play, I am a fan of that week. So war a motherfucking Eagle. I hope Auburn wins, and I hope Georgia gets knocked completely on the ass. Let's go, Auburn. I'm done.
Oh, my God.
I tell you what,
oh my God.
They better watch Florida in that division. I think Kyle Trask, he's the best quarterback, might be the best quarterback in the SEC. Georgia better watch Florida this year. Florida might win the East.
That's a good call. Sorry,
let's see. Let's
y'all
see.
Go.
No.
Look, this is good. It's just as good as Sunday as he was Monday. Like, it's a bad game. It'll be over. He was dominating the league for the early other parts of the season. It's just one game. Hits in the pocket do not hurt less than getting hit while you're running, so you can't project injury. We have no idea how this is going to go. We're looking at the new Peyton versus Brady rivalry, Lamar and
mm-hmm.
Mahomes, and I'm just excited to see it. Like, this is going to be some special stuff we see over the years, bro. As far as Doc's going to be a broadcaster, man. Doc's going to have a job. Doc's going to have the Van Gundy dilemma. He's going to get a high-paying job as a broadcaster. The coaching job offered to him is going to be rebuilding projects or, you know, projects to where it's not a contender, and he's going to turn them down. And he'll probably stay a broadcaster because that's the tough part when you are where he is, man. You can't get a real good contender, and you don't want the bad teams that they're trying to give you. So I really don't see Doc doing it again, man. And Philly is crazy as hell if they do hire him.
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely going to get a head coaching job, but he was a great broadcaster, if you guys remember back to him taking the Celtics job. He was a heck of a basketball broadcaster. And, I mean, if he decides to go that route, I mean, he was very good at it, and he will be good at it again. But I think he's still got the itch to coach. And, I mean, if the Sixers don't take him, it sounds like the Pelicans are going to take him. So so he's definitely going to be – I think he's still going to be coaching in the league this year.
Why would he take the Pelicans job?
He got Zion Williamson, man.
Man, come
all
on, dog.
The
Western Conference.
Without
the
reality
most,
of actually
got the most improved player
team.
In the league in Brandon Ingram.
Okay,
yeah.
I got
like,
you
like
now,
said, you watch. It's that Van Gundy thing, man.
I mean,
right.
I don't think Philadelphia
right.
is a bad spot for him, but, I mean, I just don't think he's that dude. I think he's living off a reputation right now still from Boston. I love Doc. I want him to succeed. I just don't think I'm looking at him like, if we get him,
you don't
he
want
takes
succeed.
Us to the next level. I just don't.
So wasn't Houston looking at Doc as well?
Yeah.
Is Houston
I don't
looking
think
at
he
Doc?
Yeah. I think the only two teams that contacted him once him and the Clippers parted ways was the Sixers and the Pelicans. So, at least based on reports, they were the only two teams that contacted him.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you were Doc and you had a choice of going to the Pelicans or the Rockets, who would you go to? Would you go to the Pelicans or the Rockets if you
I
were
go to
a coach?
NBC.
Yeah, Pelicans. If you got a choice between two, take the Pelicans. The Rockets comes with the expectations and having to manage Harden and Russ. It just seems like a losing battle to try to fight. But yeah, man,
I go out
I
east.
Don't see Doc coming back. I think his agent is drumming up stories, drumming up interest, but I don't think he's getting a gig.
And all reports are indicating that the Sixers are going to make a decision between Doc Rivers and Mike D'Antoni. I mean, if you're going to look at those two guys. You better hire Doc Rivers.
I think,
I still got questions on whether Elton Brand's going to have that job to hire somebody.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to let Curtis and Gary get in here. Good stuff, Nod. Good job, Rob. Good job, JQ. I'm just going to say really quickly, JQ, I agree with you about the obnoxious Georgia fans. Kind of a little side note, a little tangent here. I know my team, Georgia Tech, sucks. I know we suck. We're trying to get back in recruiting and like that. But I will have to say we do have a more recent title than Georgia Bulldogs. So if I'm going to say 1991, we actually have a title over the Georgia Bulldogs. They still talk shit. They get best recruits right now. They're better than us right now. But there will be a resurgence at some point. So that's my little 2 cents. We are still better than – we still have a more recent title than them. So there you go. That's all. I'm with you.
John Jones is quarterback of that team.
That's right. That's right. Man, remember that Michigan, that little – yeah, that was good. That's good stuff. Go ahead.
Damn,
go ahead, Curtis Gary. You have this good.
Yeah, coaches on the hot seat in the NFL. I already mentioned Adam Gates. But what I'm going to have to figure out, and I'm going to look out, because, like, the same thing that's happening in Houston, is this owner that cheap? Every time you look at bad coaches and bad situations,
Rob is in Houston.
My intelligence now has to look at the ownership, the guy that owns the car dealership in the state, or the guy that's daddy handed him some money and he went and bought a football team, and now he's tight in his little britches and can't pull out his wallet right,
can't get
the fans what they need. I'm sure that's what's going on in Houston. That guy's got to be a cheapskate.
Football.
He doesn't want to pay two different jobs, and he's got a ignoramus at the coach, and he must be paying him little money and not giving Lamar Jackson or not giving that quarterback in Houston a chance to be – not giving him a chance. And that's terrible. And I've always said that those guys in Detroit – I think there's a bunch of con artists in Detroit talking to that nice lady and telling her a bill of goods that she can get – that we can coach this team to the Super Bowl – and I think it's book tickets, and I think it's a con job. And it's too bad that's a nice lady in Detroit because she's getting conned. And I wish somebody would, and one of her kids would tell her, "Look, Mom, you got to be we got to be a little bit smarter here because we can't be getting conned all the time by these coaches trying to coach these Detroit Lions." So that's what I'm going to be looking at. But if this man loses Thursday,
he put that pencil behind his ear. He put that pencil behind his ear and tricked her. She is a Firestone heir and a Ford heir. The money's crazy.
Crazy money.
Ford. Yes.
Crazy money. Yeah. It's gonna keep
crazy
happening.
Money.
What you got, Gary?
Well, Damian Lillard had a comment. About these guards in the NBA, about Russell Westbrook. And dipshit from Houston, Harden, and the only other one that I thought was worth anything was Steph. And he says, "Hey, I can play with these guys." He says, is he a winner? Can hit the big shot? Is he a team guy? Is he all about everything about the team? You know, I think absolutely, if you're talking about the guards in the NBA, yeah, I think Steph is 1A, but I think Damian Lillard is 1B, and he's proven it over his career. Every year he's gone up. Every year he's hit the big shots. And another thing I want to mention, I don't want any of you guys to ever talk about Paul George as an all-star, about a great player. You watch. In a few years – we're talking about Paul George, just like we're talking about Dwight Howard right now, going from team to team to team to try and fit in. He's been nothing but a whining little bitch.
man. Gary. Boy, Gary and JQ are on fire today. How much liquor y'all had today?
Dang. Hey, Nas said he had a retractable shoulder blade. I ain't forgot. I have not forgot that he said Paul George had a retractable shoulder blade, dog. He told us last year, he said, y'all do not talk about the Clippers. Paul George has a retractable shoulder blade. And I fell off that night when he said it, and I ain't never forgot you told me that a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He was a wuss in these playoffs.
He folds in the clutch.
Yeah. Wow, that's true.
He's like a turtle. He just sucks up into a shell.
He got Doc Rivers fired, too.
He said, he was big design.
You can say that again.
That's why we got fired.
That man fired.
I'm just going to say this really quickly as we wrap up. I appreciate you bringing that up, Curtis, about the coaches. We may not have time to dive into this, gentlemen, but if I'm not quite sure. I do hope that Dan Quinn is fired. I'm kind of torn because I know there's some talk about Eric Bieniemy as far as the next guy. I don't know if he's going to have that kind of weaponry with the Falcons. I'm kind of torn, but I do like Mike McDaniel, the run coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, because I think he has that Kyle Shanahan kind of like thing and knows how to get our offense back to where it is. That's my choice for the coach of the Falcons, if you will. Yes, damn it. I'm going to get that out there.
If he's got the Kyle Shanahan type of thing, why would you want it?
Offense, bro. offense.
Whatever.
That was our best time at, again, Kyle learned, and they're going to learn their lessons about Kyle Shanahan, like when to run the ball, but he is their run game coordinator, so he needs all of those guys. The guy, Mike LaFleur, was the coach of the Packers. You see what the Packers are doing? A lot better than the Falcons right now.
I'm just saying,
so whenever you're looking at what's happening, you see a pattern here. You see, like, good coaching. We needed to run the damn ball. Dirk Cutter talking about, man, I'm trying to play aggressive. What do you mean play aggressive? Run the damn ball. If we run the ball, we're not even in the situation. Yes, the defense gave up a lot of points. That's a problem. But run the damn ball. I'm going to have my best. I'm going to run left, run right, run my best play. Don't sit here and throw the ball three times, punt it, then again, put Matt Ryan in a terrible situation. And Matt Ryan, don't get me talking about Matt Ryan. He picks the worst times not to, like, make the good throws. He has all these empty yards, and, bro, I need you to hit this throw. He throws it too high in the dirt. Then he throws an interception. I'm like, shit, it's over. It's terrible. But we need to go back and should have ran the ball, bottom line. And if I'm the $120 million quarterback, I'm like, hey, you think we should run the ball? Why are we throwing this ball? Do you think we should run the ball? Get some feedback. Don't just be like a damn, this is the play. You know what I'm saying? I digress. I'm sorry. That was
me. Hey, I tell you, man, did y'all have a Zoom drinking party earlier that I wasn't invited to? Because everybody's fired up on this call tonight. Man.
Fired up. Ooh, I love it.
Man, y'all got to invite me to the Zoom drinking party next time.
Hey, it starts at 9:30.
I mean, Dre, JQ, Gary, everybody fired up, man.
Nas did it, man. Damn, we got 90 seconds, guys. DJ Fisher going to cut us off, man. I heard her say 90 seconds in my ear. Anyway, damn. Go ahead, man.
I'm good. I got mine out.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our fired up crew in Portland. For our people in L.A., for our people in Seattle, y'all stay safe from the wildfires out there. We're going to be back on Wednesday night. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I think JQ and Gary and Andre are going to be sober next week. So we'll be ready. Oh, JQ
right.
Saying no. Oh, they saying no already. They can't operate
Burrow
from sober.
Ball 70 times this week. Maybe 60.
What'd you
who
say,
knows? Joe Burrow.
Gary,
maybe
drink the whole bottle.
Joe Burrow throw the ball 70 times next week. Who knows? Let's see, JK.
Yeah, 85.
What is wrong with that juice, man?
Oh, man. They're weighing their kid out, huh?
85 times?
Man, listen, they can't run the ball. For whatever reason, they can throw the ball, but they can't run pass block. So, whatever. But next week, y'all tune back in. We are cussing from 11:02 through the whole show. We ain't even going to wait till midnight. We can go start it right off the rip and start cussing at 11:02. You don't want to miss the show.
I want to start off with Paul George next week. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
He hated Jerry's daughter or something, man. Why does Jerry hate Paul George?
If the Cowboys lose, I think that's going to be topic number one.
Well, if the Cowboys lose, I think I might have a dentist appointment. I'll let you guys know.
Hey, you got to come over here like a man, like I did after this LSU ass whipping we took.
We didn't even talk about that enough. Rob thought he was going to skate by, JQ. He was like, I'm going to scoot by. JQ was like, let's talk about
that. The men of Troy.
Oh, man.
Hey.
The men of Troy. Wow.
That's the first thing I thought about when I saw that. I said, oh, I'm going to mess with Rob. I ain't going to text him, though, but I'm going to talk to him on Wednesday about it, though. But right now, I know it's too fresh to text him on Saturday, so I'm going to wait about 4 days, and I'm going to talk to him on Wednesday.
Hey, I was fine the same night, actually. You could have texted me.
No, I was like, no, I ain't going to do it like that. I know how I would feel, but I was like, well, we're going to have to talk about it on Wednesday, though, because ooh-wee.
Hey.
He had to go to the dollar store for some extra Kleenex.
Not that serious, Gary.
Through that door. Hey. Curtis walking through that door.
Curtis and Gary.
He's still riding
you
that championship.
Funny?
He good.
I don't know.
I'm good.
It didn't even faze me, to be honest with you. But I'd like to see him win, yes, but it didn't even faze me.
If that championship was 6 years ago, oh, he would have been so hot. That championship was last year, so he was good. That title was like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
He would have been like, man,
yeah.
Cute.
He's still with the hot.
Stop calling
me. Wrong, gotta go.
But I was going to say, on that thing, Curtis and Gary, whenever I don't know, I'm still like not over the Falcons loss to you guys, because I was like, whenever you're like, that's all right. Gary was texting that 14-2 will get us on, and I'm like, yes, I was ready to talk. And then we I'm like, oh shit, we actually lost this game. There's nothing else I can say. I was like, shit. And then I'm like, hey, what's up, guys?
Well, I asked you that day, did they fire that special team coach? Because apparently he couldn't coach special teams. They could have jumped on that ball a long time before the Cowboys did.
Watching it like, yo, this the
they
ball.
Were running
that
away from the ball.
That ain't coaching.
Yeah, hear that.
What kind of special team coaching is that?
Yeah, hear every NFL team went over that play the week after that game. He said every NFL team went over that onside kick play.
Hey guys, FYI, this is what you do. All right, jump on the ball, Falcons. This is what.
Yeah. The ball is right in front of you. Jump on it.
They're all backing away.
Oh my god.
No, you get it.
Oh my god.
That was amazing.
Good night, gentlemen.
I know if I was coaching, I lost my mind on the sideline.
We did.
God.
Get some rest, gentlemen.
Gary, JQ, y'all sober up. You got to go to work tomorrow.
Do see you guys. Thanks, guys. See you next week, man.